We're holding on Ayin Bays on the Bays, the second line from the bottom. We're learning that you have we said that things that are counted are not botel. We mentioned Machloikas, the mayor and the Chachamim about that. The mayor holds, for example, that bundles of tilta and of fenugreek, as we talked about yesterday, are not botel, whereas the Chachamim say only a list of six things or seven appointed by Akiva are not botel. So now we're asking like this. The animals of our Mishnah, again, we had one shirt on Niskol or one Chafas HaMesa mixed in with a whole bunch of animals of Kurbanis. We said that we can't do anything, we have to leave them all to die. The question is why are they not bottle Beroyim? And we mentioned in this connection that you have Machloikas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, how to understand the Machloikas of the Meir and the Chachamim. Is Reb Meir saying kol shadaka limonis, anything which is regularly counted, even though not exclusively, then Reb Meir is going to say that it's not bottle, and the Chachamim may to some extent agree with that. They're just limiting it only to a smaller list of things. Incidentally, by the way, I forgot to mention yesterday that list that the Chachamim said of Egozit Perech, Ramoni Bodin, and the rest of them. The Rambam points out that actually those six or seven appointed Rabbi Akiva are not bottle anywhere in the world. There are individually in various places. There may be individual produce, fruits, and vegetables, and things like that, that are considered as important in that particular place as these six or seven were in Eretz Yisrael at that time, and they have the same rule. The Mishnah is just listing those six because those were the ones that were important in Eretz Yisrael in those times, and because of that, they're considered to be important in all times and in all places. In any case, we said that Rabbi Yochanan had said the correct version of the Mishnah is Eschadaka Limonis. Only things that are exclusively counted, that are never sold by aggregate, then those things are not bottle. Well, then the question is, animals sometimes are sold in the aggregate. Sometimes you sell an entire herd of animals without counting the specific number, and you might throw in one or two extra. Rish Lakish had said, kol shadaka limonis, things that are generally counted, even if not exclusively. So according to Rish Lakish, we can easily understand. Animals are often, though not exclusively, sold by number. Therefore, the animals of our Mishnah can't be bought on. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the question was, why not? If it's es shadaka limonis, then animals are not exclusively sold by number, so what's the problem? Why can't we say that it's bought on? And by the way, so we're going to talk further in the Surya about bottle versus going according to the roi. We're going according to rather cold potish, middle of a potish, that anything that's taken out of a group can be assumed to come from the majority. One difference is there's actually an opinion of the Maharam Rutenberg that the post can bring that when you have bittel, the thing that was bottle actually assumes the identity of the thing that it was bottled in. So now the question is, therefore, that so this animal, yes, it was a Shara Niskol, yes, it was a Chachas HaMesa, but now as a result of being in a Roiv, it should be completely bottled, and there shouldn't be any problem in the first place. So that, in other words, you could then go and be mocked with all the animals and not have to be concerned that one of them is going to be that one that was possible, as opposed to when we talk later on about Kol the Parish, Meruba Parish, the point will be rather that we still have to have a logical basis for saying that the one that we took is from the majority rather than from that minority, from that one or two that got mixed in. Anyway. So Amar Papa, hi Tana delicious.
Did I miss your start?
Yes, but it's fine. We're not that far in. We're asking why appointed of Yochanan in particular are the animals of our Mishnah not bottle. The case is that you have one animal that's also bana mixed in with a whole bunch of animals of Korbanus. So what pointed of Yochanan that only things that are exclusively sold by number are not bottle. Animals are not always exclusively sold by number. Amar Papa, hi Tana, Tana de Litra Ktsias. The answer is that the Tana of our Mishnah would be the Tana in the Braisa about the case of Litra Ktsias. A litra is a measure, it's approximately a pound. Ktsias are dried figs or dried dates, which often they would press together into a large cake called an Igel Shel Dveila. Now the Omar, now the Tana, that Braisa says, as we're going to go on to see, called Dovash Yesh Ben Minyan, whenever you have something that involve, whenever you have something that is sometimes sold by numbers, Afilu b'dirabbanan loy bottle, then even when the Isser is dirabbanan, it won't be bottle b'choshiken b'daraisa. How much more so in our case, where we're dealing with that the Isser on this animal, the Chatas HaMeso, or the Sharanisko, is also daraisa. So in other words, according to this, we're saying that it's not even a matter of that it's always sold by number, or even most of the time sold by number. It can actually be something that some people sell by number. So Rashi Ksaviad on the side says, even if it's not exclusive that it's sold by number. Rashi, regular Rashi printed on the side of the Gemara over here says that it teaches out more fully that these literal shochtzias, many people don't, most people, in fact, don't sell them by number. They press it into an eagle tovela, into one of these cakes or pressed figs or dates, and they sell the whole eagle together. But the fact is, sometimes people will count out the literas and sell them litra by litra. So there is sometimes enumeration involved, and therefore the Tana of this Braisa is going to say that that it's not Balto. Well, then that answers the question. So once we discuss that point, then we'll see. So that answers the question about the animals, because animals definitely are sometimes sold by number, and therefore they're not going to be Balto. So the Gemara says the Tanya. We learn in a Braisa. Litra ksias, you have a litra, again, about a pound of dried figs. Now, these dried figs are truma. Now, truma, the rule is, Zorim, of course, can't eat it, and it has to be bottle. In order to be mevatel, as we talked about yesterday, it has to be 1 in 100. Rashi had brought yesterday from the Sufri that says we learned from a pasuk that trumas meiser, which is 1/100th of the one hundredth of the produce, if it gets mixed back in, it makes the whole thing also to Zorim. That's because it's mixed 1 in 99. If it's one that came out of the original 100, implying that if it's mixed in 100, then it'll be bottle. So here you have litra ktsias, so you have this pound of ktsias of truma, shadursa al pi igul, he pressed it onto one of these cakes of pressed figs. In other words, what he has is, he had already an igul shodvela, and now so Rashi explains actually, the igul over here means actually the igul is not the cake itself, but rather the keli where you make it in. So it becomes, it eventually becomes a large round wheel. Rashi compares it to a wheel of cheese. But in other words, the point is that here you had, there were already ktsias in there, and now you took the litra of truma and added it to that. So the Enya did, the Aza Eagle Dursa, but now you don't know in which of these cakes or in which of these molds you did it. Another example, dorsal pichovis. Another example is you had barrels of iguladvela. So you then pressed it in on top of one of the barrels. Then you did. But he's a chovis dorsal, and he doesn't know on top of which barrel he did it. And a third case, alpi kaveres. He did it, for example, instead of barrels, he was using kaveres. Kaveres literally means a beehive, but in Gemara terminology, it means a large basket. Sometimes we find in Shabbos, for example, that it could be large enough. Sometimes it could be 10 by 10, it could be 4 by 4 tefachim and 10 tefachim tall, large enough to actually be considered a reshus of its own in connection with Hilchos Shabbos. So the Pashtus, they would use them also as beehives, which is how it got the name, but they're basically it's a straw basket or something. Anyway, the same thing. He had a straw bag. He had a kaveres full of iguladvela, or these dried pressed figs, and he pressed in some truma. Then you did. There is a kaveres dorsa, and you don't know in which one he did. Now, what do we do as far as bittul? So Rav Meir says that the machloikas goes as follows. Rav Eliezer Omer, so Rav Meir is going to hook to. So we're going to have a machloikas, Rav Eliezer and Rav Yeshua. But we're going to have Rav Meir's version of the machloikas and Rav Yehuda's version of the machloikas. And once we go through that, then we'll see that there is an opinion that says that things like that, like the eagle shodvela, are not going to be bottled. So Rav Meir says that the machloikas goes as follows. Rav Eliezer Omer, Royanesel, Yonis Ki'ilohin Prudis. We look at the top parts of the barrel, basket, or whatever it is, as though it was separated. Meaning, in other words, like this, he had taken the truma and pressed it on top of the figs that were there. So we know it's someplace on the top, but what we can do is we can consider as though everything is separated, as though it's all separated and then mixed together. And the result is that the lichrois further down, the dried figs that are further down in the barrels or baskets or whatever, will be able to get together 100 of them, malas asolionis, and those will allow the ones on top to be butter. Meaning, in other words, that we're going to say as long as in the barrels across all the barrels. We have a hundred or more litra of chulin, then good. The one that we put into one of them will be bottled. We know we put it in on the top, and there's no way it got mixed into the bottom. Nevertheless, Reb Meir says that Rabbi Eliezer will allow that to be bottled that way. A couple of reasons why that would work. This Gemara is also in Beitza. It's one of the major sugyas in Shas about this whole matter of things getting mixed up and bottle and all that. There was some connection with an egg that was laid on Yom Tov, etc. So the Rashba gives an explanation over there because eventually everything is going to get mixed up. You're not going to keep the tzias in the tops of the barrels indefinitely. Eventually, you're going to mix them all up. And therefore they can be bottled. Now the Rashba goes on to say that based on that, then it would actually mean. He brings from Rabbeinu Shimshin in that connection that the reason is because they're going to get mixed up. But then the Rashba says, based on that, this should work only if all these barrels of tzias all belong to the same person. Because then yes, it's highly likely to mix them up eventually. But if they belong to different people, that wouldn't necessarily work. So the Rashba himself says rather that the fact is that that everything is included in the suffix because maybe the truma was after all pressed into them. So that would be reason. So even if they belong to multiple people, it would still work. Shouldn't look better here brings another point as well. Tosfos also kind of alludes to it, which is that the whole matter of taking truma from figs is derabbanan anyway. There's actually a big machlokas we showed him on the question, what kinds of produce are chayiv and truma daraisa? The Rambam holds, and Tosfos is mentioned over here in Shittim Kavetis, says that Rashi and Tosfos and in a number of places hold that only grain, grapes, and olives are chayiv daraisa. Everything else is derabbanan. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says that all tree fruits are daraisa. He agrees that vegetables, the Gemara mentions, in a few places are derabanan. So if we take the view that figs are chayiv and truma only derabanan, then we have a derabanan thing over here, and therefore we have reason. Reb Meir will say that Reb Eliezer will say that there's more reason to be makel over here. Tosfos actually brings up the point that we just learned yesterday that a mayor had said that anything which is counted is not going to be bottle. And the fact is, again, like we said before, these litruktias are often counted. So why indeed is Reb Meir telling us that Rabbi Eliezer would say that they can be bottle? So Tosfos goes through a number of different answers. It can be not just the point that truma of fruit is drabanan, but there is also the point, according to Tosfos and Shitta, but there's also the point that nowadays Truma is also only Dirabanan. We talked about previously and our Samach Aleph about the whole question of Kedusha Sa'oretz, to what extent does it still exist nowadays and to what extent does it only Dirabanan, which is Negea as far as many different mitzvahs at Fluyas Sa'oretz, whether they apply on a Daraisa or a Dirabanan level, so that can be a factor as well. So Tosfos goes through a couple of different reasons why it is that we might be makel in this case and say that it could be bottle, which we wouldn't if it had been pure daraisa. Tosfos also mentions, by the way, that let's say, for example, the Mishnah in Masechet Trumas that mentions a case black figs and white figs got mixed together. Then you don't say that the two of them can combine together to make the 100 to be mevatel, because then there's no question the black and the white ones are always going to be distinguishable. Here you take out these tzias, you take out these igulei dvela from the barrels. One igul dvela is going to look exactly like another, and therefore we have reason to say that they can all combine together to be bottel, even though in practice we know that the truma was placed only in the top of one of them. Anyway, that's what Reb Meir says, Reb Eliezer says. Reb Yeshua says, no, you can't look at the entire barrel. Im yesh mea pumin, if you have 100 tops of barrels, so in other words, you put it at the top of the barrel, very well then, if you have 100 barrels, and each one of them has And so in each one of them, there's enough kasiyas that all together we can combine it all together. Only the tops are included in the suffix. Yalu, then fine, we can be mevatel it. Yalu literally means we pick one up. We talked about yesterday that the idea would be you have to take one out and give it to the kohen. And we talked about yesterday whether that's necessary with things that are completely also like Orla and Kalaya Kerem. Rashi had said yes. Tosfos argued on him. But over here, definitely Yalu means you have to take one out and give them to the Kohenim, because otherwise it's called Gezel HaShevet. You're depriving the Kohenim of something that was supposed to belong to them. So fine, the chances that you took that the one you took out is the actual Truma are not very high, but nevertheless, at least this way they're getting their literal Kfias that they should have had to begin with. In any case, Rabbi Yeshua says that if you have 100 pumin yalu, then it can be brought up. You can be mevato the truma, be in lab, and if not, a pumim asurin, all the tops of all the barrels are going to be osur to zorim. You're going to have to sell them all to kohenim. Vashulayim, which are the ones further down, the barrels will be mutter because those were not included in the suffix in the first place. That's Reb Meir's version of the machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda says no, the machlokas went different. Rabbi Yehuda says that Rabbi Eliezer says as follows. So Rabbi Yehuda attributes to Rabbi Eliezer the opinion that Rabbi Meir attributes to Rabbi Yeshua. Meanwhile, what does Rabbi Yeshua say? According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's more machmer. Rabbi Yeshua, even if there are 300 tops of barrels over there, lo yalu, they still can't be bottled. Why not? Because they're the kol shadak limanis. Well, there you go. That's what we're trying to prove over here. We're trying to say, we're asking why are the animals are on mission and not bottled? And the answer is you have the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua. You have Rabbi Yehuda's version of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that no matter what, things that are counted are never bottle, and therefore that's why the animals are not bottle either. Tosfos brings up a point actually. Never mind Davar Shel Minyan. Later on in our parak, right now we're dealing with discrete entities that got mixed up. Animals with other animals. Further on in the parak, we're going to talk about limbs of korbanos that were mixed up with other limbs. Further on, a few blocks further, we're going to talk about blood of one korban that was mixed with blood of another korban. And Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'minu le'botel. So never mind a matter of whether they're counted, whether the things that are counted or not, shouldn't Rabbi Yehuda say, according to his own shitta, that they're never bottled because of that? So Tosfos goes into a long discussion over here about various possibilities of what Rabbi Yehuda's shitta is about things being bottled in one another. One possibility is that the first Tosfos brings from Abinatam that Rabbi Yehuda would only hold that when it comes to liquids. Rabbi Yehuda is talking about blood. So yeah, when you mix in one container of blood with another, then every molecule you pick up is every time you pick up a spoonful of it, it's likely to have some of one and some of the other. Not like, and it's fine. The same thing would be, let's say, for example, as far as flour also, you pick up a handful of flour from a mixture, almost inevitably you're going to have some of one and some of the other, but not necessarily with larger items like these that we're talking about. Then Tosfos asks on Abinatam and then goes in and Tosfos says that Abinatam then changed his mind and said there isn't a difference between Lach and Yovish, and the difference rather would be that we're talking about over here that it got mixed up with Chulin Misukonin. It got mixed up with Chulin, which have already had all the Trumas and Nisras taken out of them. Where therefore, now, one point Tosfos makes as far as Bittul is Bittul requires that one thing should be able to become like the other. Here the chulin can never become truma. The chulin can never be. In other words, let's say for example you have kosher meat and treif meat got mixed together. For example, conceivably, it's possible for the kosher meat to become treif by being cooked with tarifus, for example. But here the chulin is never, in and of itself, is never going to become truma. And then Tosfos goes on and finds ways to reconcile it in Atam's original opinion. So in practice, in Hilchos Tarubis, we actually have that when we draw distinctions between Tarubis, lach b'lach, and yavish b'yavish, where lach b'lach, and generally when you have liquids mixed in liquids, or for that matter, like Tosfos says, flour, which tar for our purposes is practically speaking considered a liquid, then generally you're going to need shishim, sometimes in the case of truma, you're going to need more in order to be bottle, as opposed to when you have yavish b'yavish, sometimes you can get away with chad b'tre, one being between one being mixed up and bottled and two, and that's good enough. Anyway, returning to the Gemara over here. So again, so Rabbi Yehuda attributes to Rabbi Eliezer the opinion that Rabbi Meir had said is Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So that Rabbi Eliezer says that you can't count the bottoms of the... So according to Rabbi Yehuda, nobody holds you can count the bottoms of the Kalim, because those for sure are not involved in the Suffolk. Ah, you have the Svaris, we said before that they're all going to be mixed together, etc. But Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold of that concept. And Rabbi Yeshua is saying that no matter what, Lo Yalu, it can never be bottled because it's a double Shulaminian. The Braisa continues, Dorus the Be'igel. Now, here's another case where he took the litter of Truma and pressed it into one of these cakes of pressed figs. And here we're talking about that again, you had in the container over there, you had many so Rashi explains that you have the keli is wide and you have a bunch of litrois in it, one next to the other. And now he put in the litter of Truma, and he doesn't know. But any idea, the Ezemokim the eagle, he doesn't, the Dorsa, he doesn't know in which part of the eagle he put it, Litzfoina, or Lidroma, whether he put it in the north side or the south side. Shitim Kabekas adds a line over here to the Gemara. If he doesn't know in which eagle he pressed it, then everybody will agree that Yalu, if he did it in the, the Gemara, so according to the Shitim Kabekas is Girsa, which actually the Gemara in Beitza also has this, as the Gemara says like this, if he put it in an eagle, Divrei Hakol Yalu, then everybody would agree that it can be Botel. And then the Gemara asks, what do you mean, Dose the eagle, Hand of Plunkayu? We just said that was the exact Machloikas. It's in one of the cakes, and we don't know which one, and you have the Machloikas Meir and Rabbi Yehuda within what Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua hold on that topic. Elo, I'm going to Papa. So rather, a Papa says Dorsa the eagle. Then you do a Heichan Dorsa. And so he pressed it into one particular cake, but he doesn't know in that particular one which side he did it on, in the north or the side. Give a hakol yalu. Then everybody will agree that it can be bottled because the individual parts of the cake, once it's made into now you don't have the issu is not the ain anymore. Now it's been pressed together and mixed up with all the other ones on all sides, so you don't have a double shaminion at all. Even when people eventually break apart this cake and cut off pieces or break off pieces from it to eat, they don't sell those dominion anymore. So now for sure it'll be bottled. The point is, again, that we have Rabbi Yehuda's understanding of Rabbi Yeshua's opinion that things that are dominion, that things that are sometimes counted dominion, not even the majority of the time, are not bottle. Well, then that explains, according to Rabbi Yochanan, why the animals of our Mishnah are not bottle, because at least sometimes they are sold by number. So our Mishnah would follow that opinion. Rabbi Ashi says you don't need all of that. You could even say that our Mishnah goes according to the Rabbanan, according to the other Chachamim, and you could say the difference is Balechayim Chashivi V'Leib Matli. Animals are considered important enough that they're not bottle, which is how we started the Gemara had so we kind of started with that at first, but we figured that maybe it's only Kol Shadaka Limonis and Es Shadaka Limonis and all that. Now Rav Ashi is saying never mind. Even aside from the Chashivos of something based on the fact that it's numbered or not, you also have in general you have other reasons why something can be choshur and therefore not be bottle. You have, for example, Tosfos had mentioned previously on Daf Ayin Beis cases like chaticha or oily scabbard, a piece of meat that's choshur enough that you would serve it to a guest, and different other things like that. You have various barrier Tosfos had brought up, although Tosfos had said here the animals is not an issue of barrier. There's not an issue of barrier because the issue only really comes in after they're shechted, etc. So, but the point is, in other words, Rav Ashi is saying that there's reasons to say that anyway, animals are choshev exclusive of the fact of being numbered, just by virtue of being choshev. First of us had also actually mentioned before that maybe we could have said that our Mishnah is also talking about mixtures of birds. And maybe that birds are not individual birds are not necessarily that choshev. So it may be actually that Avashi's answer is that birds are technically going to be different. You do have cases in Masechta Kinim. Much of Masechta Kinim is about cases where birds of Korbanos get mixed up and what the din is with those. But that our Mishnah would be primarily talking about animals, and animals are definitely considered choshev enough individually, says Avashi. Okay, fine. The Gemara says still we should have an alternative. The nimshach v'nakriv chad minayu. Why don't we take one animal out of the group and bring it as a korban? The nema, and we will say kol de parish mirub a parish. Whatever was taken out from the gori. Meaning this is not the same thing as bittul. Bittul would be that we said that it's actually it actually becomes heter. Kol de parish
and prus won't lie.
So called the Parish, middle of a Parish, will mean, fine, we know that there is an Issu in there, but nevertheless, statistically, what we take out is going to be from the Rav, and therefore it should be, and therefore it should be fine. So even no matter the fact that it's a choshuv, no matter any considerations like that, the fact is statistically we have 99 animals of korbanos over here. We have one animal that's also banah. Why shouldn't we say that if we take out an animal, we have a 99% chance that it's that it's one of the good ones? Then the answer is so one asks back, nimshech. What do you mean we should take one animal out of the group? How about a kavua? Then the problem is you're dealing with a matter of kavua. All the animals are in the place where the issur first surfaced, because kavua metzal metzadami. And we have a rule in halacha that whenever you have something kavua, whenever you have something, you have a group of things or people all in the same place where the issur first surfaced, then we say that even though statistically we would say it's 9 and 10 or 99 and 100 or whatever, nevertheless halacha tells us to consider as though 50% of it was usur and 50% was het. So here you have one animal got mixed up in there. You don't know which one it is. So what do you mean take one of them? You have a 50% chance, as far as halacha is concerned, that it's going to be that it's going to be the wrong one. So the answer is ella rather. No, what we're saying is nichbashinhu. We should force the animals in the naidi that they should move. They're going to scatter, and then the isser is not kavua anymore. And then if we take one from the mixture, then we can say that we have then we follow the normal rule again of going according to the Rav. Now, Tosfos does point out we would have to make it though that if they're going to scatter, we don't see that happening, because otherwise that's not going to work. Just because they scatter, the fact is we know that there was a suffix that surfaced when they were all together, and the fact that we're going to scatter them, that we see them scattering, is not going to help with that. And then Tosfos brings proofs from other Gemaras on that subject. So rather, we're talking about over here that we would have to kind of turn our backs. And when they scatter, when they wander around, and then that way it's not considered roiv anymore. In fact, Shitta Mukhabetza says the word nechbashinhu may even mean not let's force them, as in force them to move, but nechbashinhu, what?
Pickle them?
No, not pickle them, no. Nechbashinhu, as in we should turn our faces, koyvesh asponov. We turn our faces away, deny the and let them wander, and that way we're able to say that any particular one we're going to take statistically is not the one that was also the name, and now we can say called a parish, middle of a parish. So why can't we do that? So the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Hashtag Omar Rabban Olay Nikra. Well, now that the Chachamim are saying that we can't offer them, you know why then? It's in parenthesis, because there's really, that's the point we're trying to prove right now. So the wording there is kind of extra. Shitva Kubetsis takes it out, but. So the reason is, Zera Shem Yavoya Yud Koinim Bavasachas V'yakrivu. Because we're making a Zera, 10 koyanim might, so let's say we do that. We take one animal, then we take another animal, and we keep on going, and after a while we have 10 animals that we took out of the mixture, and we're assuming that all of, we're saying that called, each time we're saying called the potash, middle of the potash, and we're saying that, and we're saying that each one is good. The problem is, after we've done that, you're gonna have, we bring 10 of them to the Beis Mikdash, we shaft them. Now, 10 koyanim, now we're talking about, let's say all 10 of them were, all 10 of them were taken. Each time we're saying, call the Polish, middle of the Polish. So now what we're going to do is, we're going to take 10, which is the majority at this point. 10 is the majority of the Tarugas. So let's say to begin with, in other words, we started with one also animal mixed in with 10 kosher ones, but we have, so now 10 of them are going to come after the korbanos were shechted, v'yakrivu, and they're going to be makrid the blood and then burn the emurim And the problem is that you still have that now the Ruiv is all together. So in other words, now the Ruiv is all together. So now you're back to the problem. When they're doing that, then you have a reason to be concerned that now, given that this 10 is the Ruiv of the original mixture, maybe the also animal is in one of them. So we don't want to be bringing posel kodshim as korbanos. In other words, it actually explains when you take one at a time. If you were to be makriv them one at a time, fine. You could say kol the potish and meruba potish, and each time we can say the isser is among the ones who remain behind, which are still a roiv relative to it. But if you have take 10 of them out of the mixture all at once and shech them, and now you're being makriv them, then you don't have a roiv anymore to attribute. So that's not going to work. In fact, by the way, Mephoshim point out why we don't say that they shech the 10 of them, but Vasachas is because Shechita itself is not an avoida, and therefore we're not so concerned that there might be an issue of Chul and Bazara, but that's a lesser issue. However, Amalei Ha'humin Abonim Rava, but one of the Chachamim says to Rava, Elameata, by that logic, so you're saying the problem is that the Kohenim might do the Zrika all at once. And Rashi points out also, by the way, you're going to say all at once, what's the problem? It's not necessarily all at once. There's going to be a fraction of a second between one and the other. Nevertheless, though, we still say Epshel Tzamtzim. We could, when the Gemara mentions it in a lot of places, the question, when you have two things that seem to have happened simultaneously, did they really happen simultaneously, or is it just that our eyes or our cameras or whatever are not sensitive enough to catch it? But here we're saying that Efshel Tzamtzim. The fact is that we do know one of them was offered right before the other, but we don't know which one it was, and now we have the problem that some of them are going to have been puzzled. Now the Gemara had not asked that before because before we were talking about Bittel, and with Bittel you have the opinion of the Maharam Rutenberg that says that the thing that's Bottel actually assumes the identity of the ones that are Mutter, and therefore we don't have a problem. But now we're not saying it's a matter of Bittel anymore. Now we're saying Kol the Parish, Meruba Parish, therefore the one that's also still retains its identity, and we're back to the problem as if we get a Roiv together at any one time, then we have to be concerned that this one came from that Roiv.
Is that along the lines of what you have in... Bas B'cholov about
Roy Noisa Kimisha Eno, as far as what? Where do you have that in okay. I don't remember either. But Roy Noisakila Eno in a way is the other way around. Sometimes we say we're going to have later on in the Perek examples of this where, for example, there are times when we're trying to be Mavatal something, but we can't. We say that something that we would think would help to be Mavatal, we have to treat it as though it doesn't exist. And then we don't have a Roiv or Shishim or whatever to be Mavatal. Here it's kind of the other way around. Here we're saying that we have a Roiv over here, and as long as we make sure that the Roiv as long as we make sure that the Roiv still continues to exist, then we're good. But here we're talking about that all 10 Kohanim, that 10 animals, maybe the blood of them may be offered at one time by 10 different Kohanim, and there you have the Roiv is all being done there. Now the suffix shifts to that Roiv, one of those animals. We have reason to be concerned that it's the one that's also. So it's not going to work. So again, you do have the opinion of Maharam Rutenberg, who says that when it comes to Bittel, it actually takes on the identity of the one that it was bottled in, and then over here, we're not dealing with that. The Rashba actually disagrees with that. The Rashba actually disagrees with that point and says that even when it comes to Bittel, you have, for example, let's say you have the case of one piece of tereif meat mixed in with two other ones. According to the Maharam Rutenberg, you would actually be able to cook all three of them and eat them all b'vasachas because the one that was bottled lost its identity, whereas the Rashba disagrees with that. So according to him, then we have to understand our Gemara over here. The animals are all regathered together. The Isser is over there. So yeah, how could the Kohenim go and sprinkle the blood? And so the Keren Oder gives an answer that's fine. You can't eat the Tarubis. But the Gemara is going to ask. The question that we need to understand in the Rashba is the Gemara is going to ask, why indeed shouldn't it work? Why can't they sprinkle all the blood? According to the Rashba, why should they be able to? So the answer is that once the Kabbalah Saddam was done, the Cheskas, that they're kosher, the fact is we still have some animals that were not shechted, and we could always attribute the Isser to them. So therefore, why can't we sprinkle the one? So Rava, you're saying the problem is that the Kohen might do that, so Ahum and Abanan is going to ask Taka, what's the problem with that? So Amalei Ahum and Abanan the Rava, Elame Ata Megisa Asura. By that logic, if they took all the animals one at a time, and each one you're going to say called parish meruba parish, and each one they shechted and did the kabbalah sadam with a chazaka that it's kosher. Nevertheless, after the fact, they would combine back together. Mishum shemi avoyu yud koyinim vasachas v'yitchu, because to begin with, you should make a gzera. Megisa Asura is the question. The answer is Mishum Shem Yavar. Elamayata Megisa Asura. The question is, by that logic, even if they took one at a time, then it would be Asur. Wouldn't they all combine together and become a Roiv, even once the blood is in the basins? You're saying that 10 Koyinim might sprinkle them with Asachas, implying that if they did it one after the other, it wouldn't be a problem. But why not? Why shouldn't it be a problem even then? What are you going to say over here? You said call the Parish Meruba Parish, but now you're going to say that after each one was called the Parish Meruba Parish, then how is that heter going to go away? The fact is, the heter is still going to remain, and we don't say that by your logic, Rava, you're telling me that if 10 Koinim come at once, then the heter is going to go away because you have the Roy with them together. But how is it? They were Mutter, how do they become Osir again? So the answer is rather fine. It's not that 10 koyanim are going to come and sprinkle the blood all at once. It's that they might come and take from the mixture all at once. Now there you don't have the matter of that they became mutu yet. Here you have at the same time different koyanim are grabbing different animals, and therefore you have the problem that you have the whole roiv together, and you're back to the problem that in that roiv there's statistically likely to be the one that's also. How is that possible? If you're telling me that the animals have scattered, how are you going to have 10 koyanim grab them all at once? Maybe when it comes to Zrika and Atentora, it's possible that 10 koyanim could be doing it at the same time in the Bismikdash. But if the animals have wandered all around, how are you going to coordinate that 10 koyanim are going to go and grab them all at the same moment? Inevitably, they're going to have to run after each one, and then it's going to take time between one and the other. So therefore, so we'll never have a roiv in the first place. So what's the problem? Ela amar Rava mishum kavua. So rather, Rava says, no, we're going back to the problem of kavua. The problem is that what if you don't make them scatter? What if you take them from the place of kavua, and then you have kol kavua k'metzal metza, and therefore we don't want to do that. That's a straightforward explanation in Rashi. There's another explanation that it means that because when they were kavua, then they were nidcha. When they were kavua, you had a suffix which now caused all of them to be rejected as korbanos. Now, even though they all moved around, we could say called a parish meruba parish. But Rava himself holds from earlier in the Masechta that when you have something as nidcha, even though he has the capability of fixing it up, it remains osur. So therefore, that would be another explanation of Rava. So not that he might take them from the kavua, but it doesn't matter. Once they're kavua, then it's too late to do anything for the future. So the Gemara continues. Omar Rava, Hashta da Amiya.
Where are we going into?
What?
Where are we going?
We're going to go to the top of the next summer.
Okay.
Good stuff. Now Tosfos does say the fact is that what Rava is saying, it comes out that if he took one from the kavua, it would actually be also daraisa. We wouldn't say that it's called a parish, but a parish because it's a double choshev, like we said on Amud Aleph. But then Tosfos says that maybe it's not because of that. There could be a difference whether we know to begin with that there was something also, which is actually the case over here, as opposed to you have certain cases that the Gemara is going to deal with later on where we never knew that there was an item of Issu here in the first place. Amar Rava. So Rava says in this connection, Hashtag Amri Rabbanon Le'Nakli. Now that the Chachamim have said, for any of the reasons that we've discussed so far, that when you have this mixture of one Osir B'Hanah animal in a bunch of Korbanos, and we cannot be matched with them, and ultimately Rava was saying the reason was because of the problem of Kavua, E Toriv Le'Mirazi. Now, if he were to go and actually be makriv, le'mirazi, if he were to be makriv these animals, we would not say it's not acceptable. It would not be. We wouldn't say that the korban is kosher. We would say that it still remains possible. There's a parenthetical note printed in Rashi, which some of the Mephoshim take out, that says that, it says like this, that Midaraisa, again, when they're Kavua, it would be no good. We'd have to have them move around, like we said before. We said the Chachamim made a Gzera because of Kavius, and therefore they're Dachu. So this is like that explanation that we said before, that we just said from Minchas Yehuda, that explains the issue is that they're Midcha, and therefore they're not Choser V'Nira, they don't become usable again. Anyway, so now we're going to say that even the Diyavid, if he brought them, they're not going to be acceptable as a Korban. But Esvei of Huna by Yehuda L'Rava, we have a Mishnah in Masechta Kinin. So earlier we had previously on Daf Samaches, the Gemara had brought several Mishnayos from Kinin and then dealt with them in connection with Dinim of Chatos Oif specifically. But now it comes up in connection in general with this matter of broods, various broods getting mixed up. So the Mishnah says there in Kinim, Chatas shenis arva ba'oilah, ba'oilah shenis arva ba'chatas, if a chatas brood got mixed up with oilah broods or vice versa, afilo achas b'riboy, even if it's 1 in 10,000, kulon, yomusu kulon, we have to leave them all to die. We cannot bring any of them as korbanos. That's near the beginning of the Masechta Kinim. Then later in the Masechta it says, Bamed bar mamun, b'koyin nimlach. When would that apply if the Kohen who has this mixture of broods in front of him comes to ask based in what to do? So then we tell him that don't be makriv any of them. You don't want to be makriv broods that are suffix fossil they're all kosher actually, but you don't know which are the chatoris and which are the oilus, and you're going to end up doing them on the wrong parts of the mizbeach that you learned in the previous parak. And then we tell him, so don't start with that in the first place. What if he didn't ask? What if he decides to just go ahead with it? Well, then, Asan Lamaila, if he does them all on the top half of the Mizbeach, the Malika and the application of the blood, and as we learned in the previous Perek, an Ola Sa'oif is done on the top half of the Mizbeach, a Chata Sa'oif on the bottom half. So if he does them all on the top half, Metz a Kosher, Metz a Possel. Half of what he brought is going to be Kosher, half will be Possel, because he has in front of him 10 broods, 5 were Ola, 5 were Chattas. He did all 10 of them Lamaila. Okay, so the 5 Olas were all done Lamaila, we're good. The 5 Chattas are going to be possible. So whoever brought to begin with, so let's say you had one person was bringing to all these 10 Korbanos, so we can tell him, fine, you were Yotza all your Olas now. Now you just have to bring 5 more for Chattas. Lamata, and if he does them on the bottom half of the Mizdeach, same thing, Mechza Kosher, Mechza Possel, half will be Kosher, half will be Possel, the Hatois will be good, and the Olus will be no good. Okay, let's say it wasn't 10 birds, let's say it was 2 birds. He did one of them Lamata and one of them Lamaila, Shnei and Psulus, and both of them are going to be Possel, Shani Omer, Chattas Krave Lamaila, but Ola Krave Lamata, because we don't know, the Chattas may have been done on the top half, and the Ola on the bottom half, and both of them are going to be Possel. The point is, in other words, that we see that in that case, there's a difference between Lachatchila and B'dieven. Lachatchila, we tell them, don't be makriv any of the broods of these mixture, just leave them to die and tell the person to bring new broods and let's start all over. But B'dieven will say we can make half of them kosher. So why over here? Is Rava saying, B'dieven, we shechted and brought these animals from the mixture. You're going to tell them none of them are acceptable. Why? So the answer is Ella. So rather, the different gear says, for the Omer Lay, that Rava answers him, Ha Commander Omer Balachayim Nidchen, Ha Commander Omer Balachayim Ein Nidchen. There are the two different opinions that we've talked about before. Are living animals, are living animals Nidchen or not? When you have a living creature was pushed off and rejected from being brought as a korban, can it become acceptable again? So our Mishnah holds that the Balachayim Nidchen. Therefore, Rava is saying that. Therefore, Rava is going to say that even if they were matched with all of them, but the other, then no good. Ha, where's the Mishnah in Kinim? Ha, Commander Amar Balachayim Ein Nidchen. Where's the Mishnah in Kinim? Holds that they're not Nidchen. Yes, you shouldn't bring any of them Machatchila, but the other you did, then it's acceptable. An interesting Lomdish point in it is why what forces Rava to explain the Mishnah this way? After all, this whole point of the Chiddush of Rava is that if you're makriv with them, you're not Yotze. So why shouldn't we say that? Our Mishnah is saying, like the Mishnah in Kinim, Lachatchila, leave them all to die, but you are makriv with some of them, then it will be fine. So the Nitziv answer is like this. There's an opinion of Shiltis that when we talk about, we said before, Gzedoshem Yikach Mina Kavua, he might take from the Kavua. The Shiltis holds, that's when he himself took it out of the Kavua, then you have the problem, we have to consider that it might be this 50% chance, lahalocha, that it might be the one that's also. But if it was separated on its own, then it'll be mutter. So now, why is our Mishnah saying, Yomusu kulam, wait until the animals are not going to stay in one place indefinitely. Eventually, fine, before we send the Mishinu denied, we will force them to move. We don't need to do that. Sooner or later, the animals are going to move themselves. Why don't we do that? Why is the Mishnah saying, Yomusu? That forces Rava to say, therefore, that must be that our Mishnah is saying Balachayim Nidchin, and therefore, that our Mishnah is evidently saying, therefore, that you can't take away that Nidcha after the fact. Whereas the Mishnah in Kinim is not saying that, so therefore we can say the Mishnah in Kinim clearly distinguishes between Nimlach and not Nimlach, so we see, therefore, that there's a difference between Vilhatchila and Bidiyavin. All right, you want to ask Taresh Shchutin, what about animals that were shechted? What about Korbanos that were shechted? There's no question, everybody agrees that they can be nidche. If you have pieces of a korban that was supposed to have been brought on the mizbeach and became fossil, there's no question that they are nidche and are not going to be nira again because they're not living anymore. Utnan, yet we learn later on in our perek that you have a case where limbs of a behemah, balas mum, got mixed up with limbs of oilus. So what can we do? We can't bring limbs of Baal and Mumla on the Mizbeach. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, in Korava Rosh Shal Echa Mehen, Rabbi Eliezer says later in our parak, if one of the heads was already offered before the mix-up happened, then fine, we can attribute that head, we can say that maybe that head that was already brought was the one from the Baal Mum, and therefore Yikruvu Kol HaRoshim, then you can bring the rest of the Then you can bring the rest of the heads. So we see that even by Evorim, we don't necessarily say that things that are nidcha are not going to be nira again. So we see that even then they can be nira again after the fact if one of them was offered. Why in our Mishnah should we not be able to say the same thing at Bidiyavid? And the answer is Wudu Amakathon and Amitzri. The answer is Rebbe Eliezer's opinion follows the opinion of Chonan Amitzri, which is not accepted by Halacha. The Tanya, which we learn in Braisa, Chonan Amitzri Omer. Now you have the case like this. We talked about it earlier in the Masechta. You have the case where you have the case involving the Sor LaShem and the Sor LaZozel. They have to be they're brought together, and you make a girdle between them. What happens now? The Mishnah describes in Yuma what happens if one of them dies before you have a chance to do what you need to do with the other one. So now you have, let's say, so the Mishnah describes over there. Say, for example, the Sor LaShem died before you had the chance to be makriv it. What do you do with the Sor LaZozel and vice versa? So the Mishnah talks about over there. There are cases you have to get a second set of animals, you have to do another girdle, etc. But now you have Chonan Amitzri Omer after the Dam Bakos. Even if the blood of the Sor LaShem is already in the cup, you already shechted the Sor LaShem. You just didn't sprinkle the Kohen Gadol, just didn't sprinkle the blood in the various places where it needs to be done yet. If at that point the Sor and the Shaleach dies, the Sor LaZozel dies, you don't need to sort all over. The Mishnah says over there, the Tanner of the Mishnah there in Yuma says you're going to have to spill out the blood and you're going to have to start with a new set of animals. But Chonan Amitzri says you don't need that. Maybe Chadera, you can take another, just bring another goat, just buy another goat right on the spot in the marketplace, or Mezavigloi, and combine it together with him. We don't say once the blood was nidche by the Sor LaZozel dying, then it doesn't become nira again. It does, in fact, become nira again, and therefore, so we're good, and therefore we can continue with a new Sor LaZozel. So we see, in other words, that according to him, even blood, once it's nidcha, can be nidcha, but it can be nira again as soon as we fix up the situation. Well, very well, Rabbi Eliezer can be going on point to that, but Rava is not obligated to follow that opinion. The Chachamim disagree with that, and therefore according to that, we can say, so Rava would say that our Mishnah holds that even Baal HaChayim nidchin. Chonan Amitzri goes to the opposite extreme and says that nothing is ever completely nidcha, even the blood of the korban. In between, you have an opinion that says that things that are not living can be nidcha and never nira again, whereas things that are living can never be nidcha. In particular, in some places, the Gemara mentions that that's the opinion of Rav, that Bala Chaim Ein Nidchin. The famous vort on that, but they say that, famous vort, they would say the same davening, Laman Shimcha Hashem, Salach Talavini Ki Rav Hu. So there's a vort on that that was saying that we're Bali Chayim. We may have made ourselves Nidcha with our Avedis. But Hashem, Ki Rav Hu, follow Rav's opinion and allow us to be Nira, allow us to be accepted by the Eidish there again. One thing, by the way, worth mentioning in connection with this business about the heads that were makriv, and you have the rest of the body. There's an interesting case brought in the poskim where one time there was one animal that was they shechted a bunch of animals. Afterwards, when they did the bedikah, they found one of them had a cyst or something like that in the brain in a way that makes it treifer. And by now, all the pieces of the animals had been cut up and mixed together. And what are you going to do? How are you going to tell which ones came from this animal that now has been shown to be treifer? So the halacha was, so a posik told them, what you do is check the spinal cords of the animals. If it had water, if it had a cyst with water in the brain, it probably spread to the spinal cord too. So if you find one of the animals has a reyesa, has a defect of that kind in the spinal cord, then you can attribute, they weren't completely cut up, you just had the heads were separated from the bodies. So now you can attribute that one was more likely the one that had also this problem with the head, and that one will be the treifer one, and the rest of them you can assume are kosher.
And that's how
that's how it happened.
Go ahead,
everyone.